who might have their bartender licenses.
Yes, and so that they can volunteer their services at private events for nonprofits, private nonprofits to be bartenders. You know, they just do all kinds of things, and they. The joy of that, well, there's so many wonderful things about that organization, but I spoke to them a couple of years ago, and I was so struck when I looked out at this audience of these smiling, happy faces of young people who were there to give their time away to make all of our lives better. Ah, it was just almost overwhelming. I mean, the looks on their faces, you just, I mean, it's just like a ray of sunshine, you know, to see this. And it's pretty phenomenal, you know, that they keep this going, and everything is volunteer in it. They, you know, the president of the organization does that in addition to whatever they do to make a living.
Do you remember what message you tried to impart to these eager people who are already prepared to believe?
Well, I can't remember for sure. I remember where I was, but I probably was talking about the role of philanthropy in the community and what impact they make, and then the larger picture of when you total all that up, of all kinds of people giving their time and their money, the impact that it has then on our community.
Last time that we spoke, when we did the tape interview, we ended up talking at some length about individuals and circumstances that had an impact on you and the person that you became and the philanthropist that you are. But as I went back and listened to the tape, the one thing that I didn't ask you was obvious, and that is about religion. Do you consider yourself to be a spiritual person, and has religion played a role in the philanthropic activity that you have engaged in during your lifetime?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It started at a very early age because I grew up on a farm, and we went to a little country church where my parents had actually met.
And the denomination was?
Methodist.
Okay.
And so that was just something that we did. I mean, the only reason you didn't go to Sunday school and church on Sunday morning was if you had not just a temperature, but a high temperature, then you were excused from going to church, but that didn't happen very often. So church was very much a part of our lives and continued to be. When we would, you know, when I'd be home from college, for instance, I would just know that on Sunday morning I was going to go to Sunday school and church. And so when I was married and had children, church was a major part of my life. And has continued to be through the years. I do consider myself to be a spiritual person. I always felt at a very early age that God had given me particular talents and skills and wherewithal to do important things in terms of service. And that some people do their service in a mission field. Others do, you know, we do our service in all kinds of ways. When I was young, I remember the only way that I knew, because we would have these revivals at our little church, and I would remember, I remember thinking, but I don't want to be a missionary and go to China, because that was the only way I saw that you were being of service as far as religion was concerned. But I came to realize as time went on that you find people in all walks of life who are living their convictions and who are really participating in things because they feel that it is a part of their mission, a part of what they see their calling to be. And so I have always felt particularly blessed that you know, God has always given me tremendous challenges, sometimes so overwhelming that I think, now, okay, let's see, I don't know how to do that. I wonder why I'm supposed to do this. But then I always knew that whatever challenges were presented to me, the wherewithal to do them would follow. So there's a tremendous amount of faith that goes with that. And if you don't have the faith, when big opportunities come along, you think, well, I couldn't do that. And you don't, because you don't have the faith that you're going to be given, you know, the wherewithal. And I know just recently I was sitting in a wonderful setting looking out at the Gulf and thinking, you know, I could never have dreamed in a million years when I was a little girl that my life would turn out the way that it has. And while I was sitting there thinking about this, then this whole campaign to raise money came to me that we're going to do for the Girl Scouts. And it's called Remember When You Were a Girl. And it's already been approved. We're well into the planning of it. So you see, what I'm talking about is that while I'm reflecting on my own blessings, then I'm given another blessing, which is the knowledge on how to do something that's going to help a lot of people. So that's just the way my life has always been. And because I believe that it's going to be good and that I'm always going to be given the wonderful opportunities, I never look at them, oh my gosh, like, oh, I don't have the time to do that, and I don't want to do that. It's always, oh, isn't this a great opportunity? And how can I use my skill and talent? Then really, I guess I would be saying, praising the Lord in a way that will impact a lot of people.
Do you see any relationship between religion and spirituality and a generous heart, or a generous spirit and a loving heart?
Well, yes.
Things somehow connected?
Well, yes, although my husband didn't have the same kind of belief that I had, because I always laugh and said, you know, he just, I guess, you know, he really was an agnostic in that he couldn't quite let himself believe in something that he couldn't touch, feel, you know, kind of thing. And I said, I'm glad that I didn't have quite the intelligence he did, because then I could go on blind faith, you know. He didn't quite fly that way. But yet, he was the epitome of what we know as a Christian person, of giving without expecting anything in return. So I saw this dichotomy where he lived it, but inwardly, if you would have asked him, he wouldn't have seen that what he did was particularly a Christian motivation. Where I start with that and see that is what motivates me and gives me my strength and my courage and my convictions and so forth. So it is woven together, but differently for different people.
But in your mind, and as far as you're concerned as a person and a philanthropist, they are connected.
Yes, but then I see examples of, you know, I don't know anything about Bill Gates's religious convictions or what's his name, Soros or whatever it is in New York, who's given millions and millions of dollars, who was a Russian immigrant, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, so it doesn't have to be connected, but I don't know what motivates them. I mean, certainly with Bill Gates, it's because he has so much and wants to share what he has to make the world a better place. And same thing with Ted Turner and a lot of those. But I don't know that it is woven in, you know, in with a spiritual faith. I have no idea, because I haven't read anything about that.
In a minute, I'm gonna say thank you for being kind enough to sit for two interviews with me. But before I do that, I want to ask you if there's anything that you would like to say that I haven't asked you about, or anything that I should have asked you that I just didn't know enough to ask you about. Is there anything you'd like to add?
Well, I guess, yes, what I would like to add is how rewarding it is to me to now see my children and their children beginning to share what they have, to know that they are, that my children are beginning at around age 40, a little less and a little more, to make contributions to things, to be involved in their communities at this point with their children's activities, but with church and so forth. And so it's very rewarding to me to have my grandchildren say, well, I have this paper route, but I, you know, a percent of it goes to a gift to the church or to an organization that I choose. So it makes me feel that apparently my life has been an example, And when I gave my major gift to Purdue, it was given in honor of my grandchildren. So their names are listed there, and they've seen that and had their pictures taken there. You know, and I don't think they quite understand it. But so I think the legacy of a giving life is something that we would all hope for, and it makes you feel that you certainly have impacted the ones that are, of course, nearest and dearest to you.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time to sit with me and talk to me. It's been very interesting.